good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my fabulous co-host, Veronica Entwistle. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie.
So tonight we're doing the show on the Stargate, and I think my cells are from here to Kingdom Come, so I'm going to do my best to stay focused. And try not to belch. lots of great information to share and request to all of you from the team and many others. So so we're going to talk about everything you can do to participate. If you can't afford to be there, certainly understandable. But even if you are coming, these are things that they're asking you to participate in. Show dedication to all the support needed to open the Stargate and for its effect on all of creation, more than we know, and for Earth, our dear Earth. So let's talk about the nausea. Have you been experiencing nausea, Veronica?
Yeah, just a little bit, actually. I hadn't realized it was an international event, but yeah.
Yes, it is.
I didn't know it was change. I get it from change a lot. Yeah.
Well, we're being downloaded like crazy right now, and What's happening is the downloads are coming into our field and kind of bouncing up against our physical. And so the difference between the two is creating a lot of digestive problems and nausea, belching.
Well, that's interesting because I started my show tonight saying about how many people had been calling with headaches for exactly that reason.
Headaches as well. Yes, absolutely. Adrenal stuff, probably. Just know, drink lots and lots and lots of water. Please remember to bless everything you're putting in your bodies right now, including your water and your supplements and all the food that you eat. I would say it's probably never been more important than it is right now because our bodies are changing. Our cells are changing, and we're definitely, I'm an extreme case right now, and I recognize that, but so some of you may be having more extreme symptoms than others. Interestingly enough, I talked to somebody this week, and their children were having the symptoms as well. Mm-hmm. So, and it's not the flu. My daughter was over the other night, and dear Natalia was here visiting, and we were both belching and so nauseous. And my daughter was going on and on, well, you've got the flu. And I'm thinking, Michelle, I don't have anything. Just go home. I don't want to talk to anybody. Okay. So I want to explain to everybody why there wasn't a show last week. I have to be honest with you, I don't know what's going to happen between now and the time of the intensive. If this is any indication, I'm just going to go hide somewhere. At any rate, my dear friend Natalia was here, and as I had mentioned before, there was some work that needed to occur up at the dam with the winged ones in preparation for the intensive. And this turned into an adventure supreme. And we not only did the dam, we did many other places, which I'll go into, but the dam itself, which we now have Homeland Security to deal with, which we haven't had in the past. At least I haven't done any work at the dam where I had to deal with Homeland Security. And so we spent a whole day up there just trying to figure out how we were going to get crystals into the dam itself with all of the cameras and all of the security everywhere. I wasn't worried about doing work on the star map. For those of you who haven't listened to the show before, there are these two incredible statues of the Winged Ones that sit on a star map, and that star map was part of the dedication of Hoover Dam in 1935. And the stars that are on that star map were placed in the exact configuration that they would have been at the time of the dedication. What was interesting is while we were up there on a loudspeaker, they actually talked about the fact that the man that did all of this did it with the idea in mind that when the extraterrestrials came to Earth, they would see the star map.
Wonderful.
I just thought this was so fascinating. Now, I've done work out at the dam all through the 80s and before it became under the control of the federal government, you know, in terms of making it into a, what do you call that, Veronica, where people come to visit it and pay money in this mat. And
I go blank.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Tourist attraction.
There you go. And so the original way that it was built, it had a gate or an actual fence around it, a little low white picket fence, and the gates opened between the Winged Ones, and you stepped up onto the star map. It was just so magical. And the shields came up off the Winged Ones. They literally lifted about 9 o'clock at night. So you had from 9 o'clock at night until dawn the next day to do any work that you needed to do up there. The reason this area is so powerful is you have all of the, that you're in the bowels of Earth. All of this has been dug out. Then you have all this electricity being generated by the dam and coming out of the dam and going in every direction. So while we were there, we had to figure out how are we going to get these crystals into the water right at the dam. One, there are different vistas and overlooks and so on, and what fences would we have to climb and what was the risk? And I wasn't worried about doing the work on the star map as far as activating the crystals and everything, but and I kind of talked to the Winged Ones and they were totally at our service. I mean, there is so much awareness of what's going on with this opening of this stargate that I think blew my mind more than anything. So we decided to go into the dam because I had been told many years ago about the powerful drawings in the marble floors inside the dam. So we took the extended tour, which I'm highly claustrophobic, so this was not an easy thing to do, but it was something we knew we needed to do. And there are these powerful, powerful drawings in the marble, in the floors. And you have to look for them. And in the middle of these drawings that are done in marble are these brass plates that have, it almost looks like something you'd read that was Braille, okay? All raised up in different places. And if you stand on the brass plate on these drawings in the marble, I'm telling you the energy is just enough to send you to the moon.
Wonderful.
So we went to every place because we took the extended tour. We went into the real bowels of the dam. It was... So our plan was to come back the next day and come really early in the morning before they opened the park, okay? So we didn't have a lot of people to deal with so we could work on the star map without any interruption. And that night, they had a storm up there with 80-mile-an-hour winds, which actually broke a record. Our plan was to go up there, do our work, and then we had rented a boat that we were going to go out on, and the crystals that didn't go into the dam would go into the lake on the Nevada side. Well, there was no way to go out on the boat because the ramp into the marina had completely been torn out. So that was out of the question. So we just thought, okay, well, you know, my whole thing was stay in the now moment, get done what you can get done, take one thing at a time. So, and my son came with as well because he was very concerned about us getting arrested. And rightfully so. We managed to get four crystals into the dam, which is a huge drop from where we were. without Homeland Security, I mean, truly, and I understand why they're so cautious about this, because you could poison the, you know, the water. You could do any number of things. But we managed to get these crystals into different parts of the dam where the water sits right at the base of the dam. And without getting arrested, we went onto the star map and energized every crystal. There's a brass inset for each of the planets and so on. And so every the crystal was put on those. It was so powerful. And all the crystals were programmed for the opening of the Stargate and various other things that the team had asked me to put into them. And then, God bless Natalia, because she says, I want to go on that boat, the big paddle wheel boat. And I went, oh, bingo. So we went down to see if that boat was actually sailing, because it would be the only way we could get out onto the water. And sure enough, so we were able to get on that boat and deposit the rest of the crystals into the dam. We had to kind of hide from everybody to do it. But, I mean, it was very surreal. With all these huge winds, and it was just crazy. So we actually spent 2 days up there. First day in preparation, second day in execution. And exhausted. I mean, we started at 4 in the morning. By the time we got to bed, it was like 7:30, and we were just wiped. Mm-hmm. So the first day, actually, we went up to Red Rock and went into areas I had never gone before up in Red Rock, which is a very sacred area, Indian territory, up by where I live. The rocks are very red, very powerful. And when you go back into this, behind Red Rock, is where ships come in. They come in there and they come in at Mount Charleston. What's fascinating is as we climbed back in there, there was one mountain that was totally hollow. And as we sat on these rocks, I could actually see in there and see what was going on, and I'm like, whoa. And, you know, there are beings in there doing whatever they're doing, and they actually fly into and out of that mountain like they do Bell Rock in Sedona. And so our first day we did our work there. Second and third day we did our work up at the dam. The fourth day, we were going to have a lovely brunch at a very beautiful place, and Natalia had mentioned she wanted to go to the Little Alien Inn, which is in Rachel, Nevada, and I'm like, there is no, right in the middle of Area 51, and I said, there is no way I'm going out there. I love you, honey, but that's, so no, we're supposed to go to brunch, and I said, yeah, right. So I wake up very early in the morning with this huge message that you're to go to Area 51. And I'm like, crap. Now, for those of you who are listening that don't know about Area 51, which I would think would be kind of hard not to know, but the Nevada test site, which incorporates Area 51, takes up about the third of the state of Nevada. It's huge, and it incorporates the places where all the nuclear testing occurred, where they are trying to clear the underground storage of nuclear waste. Area 51, what was interesting when we were in the dam, they were showing us all of the, and Bob, I know you'll, I'm sure he'll cringe when I use all the wrong verbiage for all of this, but they have these big power things that create the electricity. And they had added one. There was so many on one side and an odd number on the other side. And the reason they had an odd number is they had to add one, part of which went to some town I don't remember, and the other part of it went to Area 51, as they said, which doesn't exist. The government has never claimed the existence of Area 51. And in all the years I've lived here two different times, I had many people that came to my first group who actually worked at Area 51. I've seen some unbelievable things that I won't, I mean, that's a whole show on its own. I won't go into all the stories, but the stealth bomber came out of Area 51, and I was at the home of the administrative assistant for the commander of the stealth bomber squadron, and they had just moved to New Mexico and out of Las Vegas once the stealth bomber became public. And I'd always heard that it was back-engineered based on extraterrestrial technology. I was aware that there had been many people that had died trying to work with the materials on the ships that humans are not compatible with. Also that our fiber optics and many other things have come from extraterrestrial ships, back engineering of all of this. So she confirmed that there were extraterrestrial ships in Area 51, that there were extraterrestrial beings, so on and so forth. And, you know, she was so whacked out that, I mean, she lived on candy and stayed locked up in her house. So anybody I've ever known that worked at Area 51 had extreme circumstances in their life. Some of them showed me in their jugular vein where they had been injected with things that would erase their memories. I mean, this is really way out there stuff. So I don't talk about this stuff because I prefer not to, needless to say. So I have never had a desire to go out there for all of these various reasons. I've been aware that there are some beings out at Area 51 that are being held against their will for a very long time, and that's another reason I've preferred never to go out there. So that morning it was a direct request. I never say a direct order, but a direct request that we go out there. And the crystals that they asked me to take were crystals that are only used to open up major things on the planet. And I'm like, oh, geez, we're playing with the big stuff now. So we knew we were 2.5 hours to get there. And so I told Natalia the only safe thing to eat once we get to Rachel, Nevada is pancakes. Anything else is off, no way are we eating anything else. So we brought organic butter, we bought maple syrup, just in case, okay, so they couldn't put anything on them. I figured, how bad can you mess up a pancake, right? So we're driving out there, and Natalia looked at me and said, my God, you're not driving the car, are you? And I said, uh-uh. I said, not only am I not driving the car, the wheels are not on the road. So at any moment this car may lift up, just be prepared. I couldn't have made this stuff up on a good day. I have to tell you, everybody, this was... I thought the last intensive was big, and I thought it was really powerful. But this is way off the map, the whole thing. I mean, if this is any indication of what's going to happen, oh, my God. And we got out to the little alien inn, and what was fascinating is that it's a front. There is nothing authentic about this little place. The pictures on the walls and so on date back to the, I would say, early 80s, maybe 84 at the very. And things were hanging crooked. They had some T-shirts and things for sale and sweatshirts and so on.
Did you buy one?
Yes, actually I bought my son a jacket because I was freezing. And Natalia bought all kinds of stuff because she's so cute. But the people there, you know, and I hesitate ever saying this kind of stuff on the air. The people there were completely brainwashed. And all they talked about was the government, how great the government was, how they met with them once a month and told them everything they were doing there. And these people, too, now there's 72 people in Rachel, Nevada. Two women in the restaurant both had cancer. Another man weighed about 400 pounds, and he had something growing up his leg that I have never seen in my life. I've never seen anything like this. I couldn't even describe it, let alone diagnose it. the people were very heavy, unhealthy. Their energy fields were a mess. And all I could think of was get something to eat and get out. So because nothing's marked there in Area 51, all I wanted to know was give me a description of where the roads are into specific places, and I don't want to talk about where they are. And so they came up with a map, and, you know, they said, if you go, you will be arrested. And I said, look, just give me a map, if you've got one, of where the roads are, okay? And now there are many, many entrances into Area 51. There were specific entrances that I was looking for. This was, and I have to tell you, there were things going on multidimensional levels. It was, so I mean, both Natalia and I had problems with our vision after being out there. And literally, our vision has been so blurry that we couldn't read or do anything. It's just been bizarre. And they were so adamant about us not going anywhere near. And they talked about, I guess it was ABC that came there, and they had warned them not to go up to the gate. There's only one road where we were that actually had a gate. The others don't have gates. They just have a sign posted. By the time you get there, the vehicles will come down and arrest you. So they make it very treacherous for anybody that goes there, and that's putting it mildly. You see nothing. You don't see any buildings. You don't see anything. You don't see any signs. You don't see any road signs anywhere. Ugh. So anyway, they told the story of how somebody from a group from ABC with all of their equipment and so on, and they warned them not to go up to the gate, and they did. All their filming equipment was confiscated, and they were taken in these dark-windowed vans to the state line and dropped off without their equipment. So I found that to be very interesting. If anybody who's in the military or who is on any form of military pension gets caught there, you will lose all benefits. I mean, this is really some serious stuff, I have to tell you. It was, I have to say, I have never been in, it was the Twilight Zone. That's the only way I can describe it. We were in the Twilight Zone. And I knew that we had a very short time frame to get done what we needed to do. And that was the thing. There was a sense of urgency to do what I needed to do with the crystals and get out. And I brought a little shovel and did what we needed to do in the locations we needed to do it and then get out.
What were you doing? Were you just planting crystals? And
well, I don't want to say too much on the air, but yes, there are crystals that were put in the earth, yes. And these are really powerful. These are the same group of crystals that they had me open the keys and codes in Las Vegas and the library up in Hollywood. I mean, these are powerful crystals. And like I said, when they told me that morning which crystals to bring, I'm like, oh, geez. We're not playing games. Because these are not the ones that went up to the dam, just so you know. And because I only have a few of them left. And at any rate, we did 85 miles an hour out of there. And they had warned us if we did any speeding whatsoever, we'd get a ticket. And I was determined just to get out. I was passing two trucks at a time. I didn't care. So in between all of this, we also got up to Mount Charleston and put a crystal up there because that's where another place where the ships come in, and Mount Charleston is above Las Vegas, and there's a tree line up there, so you go right into evergreens, and it's just totally different. It's like going from desert to Lake Tahoe. It's just amazing. And so we did that, I think, Saturday night. Sunday we went to, Sunday we went to Area 51. And so this is the reason I'm not feeling real well hot, because it really, and neither is Natalia, it really physically undid us. And energetically, I mean, we'll be fine, but it's still, you got to be really strong. I know some people were upset that they weren't invited, including my granddaughter. And it was like, no, no, you don't understand. I'm not putting anybody else in jeopardy. Natalia, God bless her, she can roll with this. She felt like we were Thelma and Louise. And I said, yeah, hopefully we don't drive off into a, you know, off the canyon somewhere. But
tell me, were your wheels on the ground when you were traveling out fast?
Yes, I was. It was very good. It was totally different than when we were coming. Mm. When we were coming, there was an entourage of sorts. I don't even know how to explain it. Very, very protected. Getting in, it was very protected. It was getting out. Once we got off the, what they call the extraterrestrial highway, from there out, it was very grounded. And I, at that point, it was just me that wanted to get home. I just wanted to get out of there. But no, it was a very grounded experience and not at all like going there. So I can tell you that there were, during this whole experience and putting the crystals in and so on, and Natalia got it, she said, I don't know why I'm getting forgiveness. And I said, because there are beings there that are doing things that they really don't want to do. And there are some people who've been abducted and taken into Area 51, where it's what they call a My Lab operation, which is human, military humans and extraterrestrials. There's one person specifically whose name I don't want to use. Who actually remembers being, and it upset her, you know, being underneath the ground in this big, like a warehouse. I've had more than one having those experiences. And there was an article in the Journal of Abduction Research by Elaine Douglas about a couple that were part of a MyLab operation and what they went through. And there were military from all over the world watching them in the audience. And it was horrendous. I mean, I won't go into, and this was a recent article. So, and Elaine is a very viable, I have a great deal of respect for her. And this was an interview with this man. The wife doesn't remember anything, but the husband did. And he was really undone. All he kept saying is, why us? We're nobody. But so there are some very dark things that happen out there. What I got clarity about is, because I never understood all of why they wanted me in Las Vegas, I really do understand now. What I really got clarity about was the dark operation of Nevada test site and Area 51. And, you know, it's like bringing light and dark together, and why Las Vegas kept calling me back, and I really do understand now. It was a little unnerving to be out there
mm-hmm.
and to be in the middle of it and realize you're talking about the military-industrial complex who does not answer to the president or Congress or anybody else. It's I was never afraid, I will say that, at anything we did, but because I was being asked to do these things, so I knew that there was total protection, but certainly it was energetically unnerving, and I think that's the most difficult part. And I still don't feel like my cells have come anywhere close to coming back together yet. So what the team has asked of everyone, excuse me, everybody, but I'm having a lot of digestive problems here. as my chiropractor said, you're just trying to digest everything that's happened. And I'm like, yeah, you think? What they've asked now is that everybody, if you are willing, this is never telling people you must do anything, if you are willing to go and get crystals and ask the crystals if they're willing to participate, and you can just put them in your hand and hold them and mentally talk to them, are you willing to participate in the opening of the Stargate? And you'll know, instantly you'll know if they give you a yes or a no. Take them home, soak them in warm sea salt for 4 hours. Take them out of that, let them dry. Put them out either in the sun for a day or under the stars for a night. Ask them which they prefer. Programming them. Okay, the first thing you want to do is clear the crystals, and on every crystal they have facets. Just wipe across every facet with the intention of clearing anything that's been programmed into the crystal at any time. And then work with each facet to program, just rub it, program in what you desire for the crystal. Assistance for the opening of the Stargate, prosperity for the earth, feeding of the poor, whatever comes to you is perfect. Just do it with your heart, not with your head. That's the most important thing. Then take the crystals, one or the many, whatever you're led to do, and take them to what you consider to be powerful places, wherever you are in the world. It doesn't matter. Powerful to you. With Natalia, she's going to, and I had asked her to please go to the Statue of Liberty, which to me is a representation of the goddess. All right? And Wall Street. Those are two very powerful places. Interestingly enough, what I found out from the woman that Natalia gets crystals from, what she told me was that what she had said was that there is a whole crystal bed that runs under Wall Street. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason that, the area there is so powerful.
Where's Goldman Sachs?
I'm sorry?
Where's Goldman Sachs?
On Wall Street somewhere. Mm-hmm. So doesn't mean, you know, power is power, Veronica. Doesn't you can use, power is neutral. You can use it for dark or light.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on a planet of polarity. Anyway, she's also going to go to the East River, the West River, and there was someplace else that I don't remember. But wherever people are, whether it's a body of water or a place of significance that you've found to be powerful, case in point, a squirrel lives in Wyoming, and she's in the Tetons, and they're very powerful. She's also close to the mountain range that was used for Close Encounters of the Third Kind. People in San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge, Lazarus calls it the Golden Gateway. The San Francisco Bay itself. There are other various places in that area that are very, very powerful. So wherever you are, yeah, certainly you have powerful places up where you are.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. And so some people are going to have intuitively places that are very powerful to them that may not be powerful to anyone else, or they may not be aware of it. But this is what the team has asked for, the intention of assisting so that all these crystals connect together during the opening of the Stargate. And hopefully that makes sense. And you may want to add abundance, you know, help for the earth, whatever you want to add. Very, very important. So, all right, any comments, Veronica?
No, I think this is very exciting. So what you're saying is that the Stargate is all of us and our intentions connecting to power spots on the earth and
absolutely
opening a rapport with many dimensions. Is that what it is?
Well, when the Stargate opens itself, all those crystals will activate.
Hmm.
literally. And it's just like, it's like every crystal will be, see if I can put it into language. God. Just think of those crystals really coming alive during the opening of the Stargate, assisting in the opening of the Stargate. And at various places all over the planet. And again, coming from each one of you who are part of a matrix of energy that has agreed to participate in this opening of the Stargate. I've had some, Wendy, who said, you know, Kuan Yin and Isis and Osiris have come and visited her and told her that this was part of, you know, this is what she came to Earth for, was to help open the Stargate. This is part of her major contract.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm finding that this is far bigger than even I had imagined. And the more that they move forward with this, certainly the things I've seen in this last couple of days really pretty much cinched it for me that this was way bigger than I could have imagined. So not that a Stargate isn't big, but it has to be done by humans. We're the ones setting the intent. We're the ones saying, yes, we're ready to have direct interactions, okay? Whether they're done meditatively or they're done telepathically, you know, until such time as they're more overt, more direct. But there are many people who waited a long time for this, a very long time. And many more races coming in, I have to say, that there was, out of Area 51, a sense of incredible gratitude for what was happening. Absolute
great
gratitude.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I was very, very moved by that. Okay, I'm going to bring the team in. I don't know if I can hold the energies, but I'm going to try. All right, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, you're all part of a very big adventure, aren't you, Veronica?
Yes, it seems like it's huge.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And the channel talked about one person who knew this as part of their contract. And we would say that it's part of all of your contracts. Now, bear in mind that there are versions of you on the other side of the veil participating in this. Right?
Well, whilst Jackie was talking, I was seeing this huge light as if there were many dimensions like stairs going up, and then there was this huge light with beings that seemed to be in one segment up higher, as if there's another group setting the connection at another way higher level.
That's correct. Very good. Very good, Veronica. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, you're absolutely right. This has drawn in beings on very, very high levels to assist. Now, bear in mind that it's all about the purity of your heart. This is not about how smart you are, how good you are, how accomplished you are, how much you've done, you know, how many meditations or humming or toning or any of that. This is about coming to this experience with a pure heart, with love, with willingness. That's what this is about. Does that make sense to you, dear one?
Yes, it does indeed.
All right.
Is that being downloaded into us more and more lately? Because I've been getting these huge infusions of that absolute love feeling in the odd places.
Yes. Well, we're working very diligently with all of you that are going to be there, because it's your love that will be the impetus, the catalyst to open the Stargate. As you meet with the high councils of these various planets, they're not interested in what you've done. They're looking at intent. Do you understand?
Yes. Indeed.
How much love? The rest of it is all superfluous. They don't care about your jewelry or your cars or your houses. They don't care about any of that. How many crystals or this or that, what they care about. How much love you bring, how much willingness. You know, your ET talked about heart light. And that's what they're looking at, is your heart light. Your heart light. The essence of soul and spirit that you carry within you. That radiates from you. So we're going to encourage all of you to practice self-love and willingness. Self-love and willingness. Go a little further. For those of you that participate, we've said this before, you will carry colors, tones, forever. That say, we were there. We opened a Stargate on Earth. Now that's pretty big. And each one of you that joins in, joins your energies, works with these crystals, will know, and you'll know, that you participated. Very important. If you're led to do it, I'm not going to say to anybody, you have to do this. We would hope that you would want to do it, that it would be your joy. The size of the crystals is not important. It's not necessary to go buy something as big as your foot. The intent. It's the love. You see, when you program those crystals, you program in love. Love for your star brothers and sisters. Love for humanity. And love for your earth. Wanting to bridge that love into the cosmos, to open a Stargate that you chose to open, that you took the initiative to do, that says, we're ready. There's the difference. You see, we could come to see you. We don't need your Stargate to do that. But this Stargate will be different because you created it. you wanted to do it. And there will be a series of meetings that you will have during those 2 days with the high councils of these planets. Are you really ready? Is this what you really want to do? Do you understand the responsibilities? How much love do you bring? How much willingness? Because you see, in a way, it's your innocence, your beauty that you bring. Not your grandiosity, not your self-importance. Your willingness, your desire, your burning desire to connect. Remember that things have never happened this way on any other planet in your universe. Now there's all kinds of hubbub out there. The Earthlings are going to open a stargate. It's all the talk. That you've come so far. Believe enough in your power, which we've waited for you to reclaim who you are. This will be your stargate. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Will you receive assistance? Of course you will. We don't expect you to come with a blueprint. Right? That says this is how you open a stargate. We know better. But your desire, your willingness is everything. Everything. Now, do you have questions, Veronica?
Well, is to become who we really are, immediately think, can we bring all the powers that be with us, the government?
Now, what powers do you want to bring?
Well, we want to come from love. We want to come from, I keep feeling it's like the shift, moving, you know, the consciousness of the species. Is that taking in too many aspects?
Well, no, it is a shift deal. It is exactly what you described. Now, perhaps your crystals that you program may include a shift in politics, in the political landscape, in the belief structure. Do you understand?
Yes.
But you have to believe it's possible. That you're powerful enough, that you're powerful enough to be able to program that with your love, with your desire, with your intent.
So each of us will have our own specific intent and focus.
Each of the crystals that you program and place wherever you place them, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Becomes part of that whole matrix. This is where you get to take individual responsibility for what you're bringing to the table, so to speak. We're not telling you what to do. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. You're inviting us to...
That's correct.
...seed our intentional love.
There you go. Now you've got it. Now you've got it. Do you understand?
Yes, very awe-inspiring, isn't it?
Yes. Now we hope that some of you will look at your government. Your places of government buildings. Are there parks by them? Again, you have to look at, can I do this and not get arrested? We don't want anyone arrested. But before you go and do it, you call in protection. But don't do it to the point of arrogance. We want you to all be careful about this. Because if you're running a program that says, I'm never protected, I never get what I want. Do you understand?
Yes.
That program can override and get you into a lot of trouble.
Seems like a negative intention, doesn't it?
Well, it's a subconscious negative intention. It's one that what you want versus what you claim you want.
Mm.
All right. Do you understand the difference?
Yes, I do.
All right. Coming from pure clarity, if you're afraid to go do something, don't go do it. Because your fear will override the love. Do you understand?
Yes. So that can be complicated, especially if you pick a very dangerous site, so it'd be wise to pick a more
possible. If you decide you want to pick a dangerous site, go a block away.
Yes.
You know, there's no, you're not going to get brownie points here. That's the channel's expression, brownie points.
But you don't have to be right into the actual site then, you're saying. You can. We could be way out here by the ragged edge of the West Coast and still have an impact.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But for those that are in places where you know that you can have impact, if you feel confident. Now, for people listening in other countries, right? In other countries or other states, don't be afraid to go by your government buildings. If that's what you choose, if that's what you see as a base of power.
I'd like to put one at the Peace Arch.
Beautiful.
Mm.
Beautiful. A wonderful metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
An arch of peace. I'm going to put my crystal at the arch of peace. I bury it, though. Don't just sit it on top. It'll be gone. But that's beautiful, you see. Wherever you're led, and you'll be led, ask your higher self for direction. Ask us. We're going to work with you in the dream state tonight anyway.
We have to call to a close shortly.
All right. Veronica, you want to talk about your shows?
Yes, my show next Tuesday is Paradigm Shifter, and I don't know who my shifter is, but it's people making a difference. I'm chasing down, as I said earlier, stalking a wonderful nutritionist, hoping to get him on to tell us about the qualities of food and hormones and so on. And yes, and then next Thursday I'll talk about again about creating and manifesting, which you're doing at a different level. Yes.
All right.
At 7 o'clock. Thank you.
All right. Now we would like to work with all of you tonight. In fact, we're going to ask for 3 nights. All right. 3 nights. Now, allow these things to drop in. Don't wake up in the morning and go, oh, crap, they didn't come see me. I don't have anything. Allow it to drop in, driving down the street, walking through the parking lot. Oh, I just got it. In the grocery store. When you're busily looking at something else, doing something else, allow it to drop in. Calling us in for 3 nights, giving yourself 1 week. 3 nights, 1 week. What are you going to call us in? you're going to ask for assistance to find the right crystals and the right places to put them for you. Hammer stocking. Now, please be clear here, people. If you don't resonate, and we want to be very clear with this, with certain things, don't go there. You understand? Don't try to be a hero here. What the channel is doing is different. She has different things to do. And many times she doesn't even know what she's doing until she's in the midst of it. Which sometimes is the only way we can get her there. But she listens and she'll stay in the now moment. But what we don't want you to do is to drive 5 hours or to get on a plane or... Unless you wake up and you're so driven, you have no other choice. But not to be a hero here, people. This is not about, oh, look at what I did.
Is this at a specific date?
No.
Before the intensive?
Before the intensive.
Mm-hmm.
Before the intensive. We're not giving you any specific dates.
Okay.
Now, for very good reason. For very good reasons. Now, you have your place called the UN in you. All right? Now, nobody's going to be able to bury a crystal right at the UN. So you go to a park by the UN. You understand?
Yes.
You can't leave a crystal in the Statue of Liberty, but there's a park there. Washington, D.C. You can't get in the White House, but there are parks all around it. Now, if you try to bury a crystal down Pennsylvania Avenue, we guarantee you, you're going to get arrested. We're using extreme things here. All right. For some of you that live on specific oceans, you may want to put one in the ocean. But don't do it on the shore because it'll be washed back up. So you have to get offshore to do it. Perhaps a group of cliffs. Do you understand what we're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Does this make sense to you?
No, it sure does.
All right. You decide what you think is important and what calls you. What call will give you a case in point? The channel couldn't get back up to Red Rock to put the crystal, so Natalia went. And she's walking around with this crystal going, I don't know where to put it. All right, team, you need to show me. And a crow manifested. Now, here's the interesting part. This is exactly where the channel knew that the crystal was going to go. She never said anything to Natalia. But that's where it was supposed to be. The crow circled, manifested, circled until she got there and disappeared.
I think we're over time.
All right. Look for the signs, everyone. Know that we love each and every one of you. Do not underestimate your contributions and how important you are. Your love. Know that we love each and every one of you, and until we speak with you again in this format, namaste, dear ones.
Namaste. Good night, everyone.